So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
It began with a sound. And the sound was something like this. And then again. Now imagine that it's not just me up here doing that sound. Imagine there's 1,000 of me up here doing that same sound. And as the sound grows louder, the sky grows darker. And it's kind of like an eclipse. You can't see the clouds anymore. You can't see above a few hundred feet above you. And this large, dark mass comes over top of you and begins to descend on top of you. And what is this? People are scared. People are anxious. People start to try to run. People realize they can't run from it because the mass, the cloud, the darkness above you is the size of New York City. What can you do to survive? You begin thinking in terms of survival. I live with people who have nothing to eat. They eat things that we would consider inedible. They eat leaves off the trees. They eat grass. They eat plants right out of the ground because there is no other food. And this is the way old people, middle-aged people, families, young children try to survive. And when this sound and this cloud comes, they know because they've heard the rumors. The word has spread that when this happens, even the leaves on the trees that you thought you could eat, as nasty as that sounds and as nasty as that is, they're no longer there. And you find there's anguish and sorrow among the people. I live in Central Africa, and I live in a country of South Sudan, and I live in a state called Jubek. And in Jubek state, over the last few weeks, has entered the largest plague in history of locusts. It's a plague of biblical proportions. Scientists estimate there are billions and billions, billions of locusts massed together in single clouds the size of Manhattan. And the way this all began is as interesting as it is heartbreaking. And it is completely tied to climate change and therefore Mother Nature. Not too long ago, there was a hurricane that hit southern Saudi Arabia. Very unusual for that to happen. But it left a lot of standing water on the ground in Saudi Arabia, where the locusts, which normally burrow themselves in the sand and lead their lives happily and independently from humans, multiplied exponentially into the millions and probably billions. And then a few weeks later, what happened? Well, it was another hurricane on the exact same place, the exact same intensity, and the exact same standing water on the desert, which caused the billions of locusts that had multiplied from the previous hurricane to exponentially develop from there. This massive cloud of locusts rose up from the desert and covered a ground from probably the Bronx to the South Street Seaport. Came up in the air, flew westward, across the Red Sea and into East Africa. And over the last couple of months, they've entered into, I think, 7 countries in Africa right now, mine being one of them, and in fact, in my country, my state being one of the places they've come. And so it starts with that sound. It's a very unnerving sound. and you know they're coming, because when you hear the sound, there's no turning it away. And when they land, they eat everything that's green in sight. And if you're one of these families that subsist yourself with the greenery growing out of the ground or the leaves on the trees, you know your food's about to go. A few hours later, the cloud rises up and they move on. Who knows where they go? They move on to spread and multiply even more. And this has been occurring now, as you may know from the news, for many weeks. It's Mother Nature. It's horrible. It's climate change. Now, what's the impact on us? I spend more of my time in Africa than I do in the United States. I actually had to come here this week for a funeral of a close friend, and that's why I was here today. But when I heard the opportunity to speak about Mother Nature and the impact on all of us, I thought I could say a few words that might be meaningful to you all. What can we do about this? Well, from my perspective, the political discourse and the conversation in the United States about climate change is important, and it's growing, and that's good. But it's still often too much about the future, about what could happen, what might happen, what will happen, about sea levels rising on resort areas and what that's going to impact on real estate values and the stock market and so on. And that's all valid. I'm not discounting that importance at all. But what I wanted, my message here tonight is that as we sit here in this beautiful facility and listen to these interesting talks and associate with informed, intelligent people like you, at this very moment, there are millions of people, the most destitute, the most godforsaken, and the hungriest among our species that are dealing with the effects of climate change and dying from it right now tonight. So how does that impact us here in Texas? A few suggestions. While many, most all of us are concerned about what we can do as individuals about conservation, about natural resource conservation, about electricity, water, etc., and that's all fine, that's very good, that's admirable, we should do that. Let's think out of the box. What can we do more for those 8,000-10,000 miles away who are dying tonight because they can't eat the leaves out of the trees because the locust ate the leaves out of the trees? What can we do for them in tangible, realistic ways? A few suggestions. There are wonderful non-government organizations doing great work over there right now that need our support. The World Food Program, World Vision, Doctors Without Borders, the UN. They are providing emergency food to those ravaged by this particular situation with the locust, but in broader terms, they are providing help and support to those impacted by climate change right now, the most downtrodden among us, that can't fend for themselves at all in the best of times, let alone in their world in the worst of times. So in terms of support of those organizations, you can give your donations. You can give your time, your energy, your good ideas. You can take a sabbatical from work for a year or two and go over there and devote yourself to supporting them for a year or two. It's a year or two that will change your life, I guarantee. That's the situation I'm in right now. It has changed my life. I see the world fundamentally differently than I did before I did this. You won't become rich, you won't become wealthy, the salaries are not that good. But you'll be rewarded well beyond the materialistic things. So I challenge all of us, myself included, to think out of the box on the ways that we can help people. I don't know, I live in South Sudan, it's probably 10 or 12,000 miles away. What can we do about these people over there in the oldest civilizations on Earth? I live right where the skeleton Lucy was found. Second oldest hominoid skeleton that was ever found. I live right near the Rift Valley. I live right near where the wildebeest migrate each year and jump into the river and all that. You've seen that. That's where I live. It's the oldest civilization on Earth. But they're also one of the poorest civilizations on Earth and one of the least developed civilizations on Earth. And right now, because of climate change, you're undergoing all this additional piling on that they have to endure, and they cannot endure. They don't have the wherewithal or the ability to endure. but we can help. So please try to think of ways that you can do that. And I've offered a few suggestions, and there's probably others that I haven't thought of that you might think of. Please try to think of something to do. Because right now, probably in the last 7 minutes that I've given this little talk, I'll bet you a couple hundred people have died because of malnutrition, because of the locusts that have taken their food. Thank you very much.